And so welcome to Unity Church in Albany. And we're going to talk about, as Pete said, we're going to be talking about loss, being lost. Last week, if you were here, you'll remember that we talked about the tightrope artist, not tightrope, the trapeze artist, as being that person that sometimes we feel that, you know, we know that we are having to let go of the past, but it's that middle moment, that section where we're levitating, rising up, or most of the time it feels like we're sinking down, hoping that the other trapeze is coming right in time for us to grab it to move forward. And with that example, I talked about four of the ways that we come out of the lost stage. And I used some practical references based on if you get lost while you're hiking, or just if you just get lost in this physical world while you're driving, however. And it's the stop, think, observe, and plan process, stating that a lot of times we don't stop early enough. You know, we believe if we keep going, the fuzziness that's out there, this thing that doesn't seem like it's right, will suddenly appear to be right, and we find ourselves even more lost. But once we stop, we don't go too far, which will allow us to move forward to think. Now, it isn't the thinking of the monkey mind. It isn't that panic. I asked you guys, what would you do if you got lost? And I heard panic and GPS and a whole lot of wonderful answers. And one of my favorites from the 9 o'clock was, I'm going to cry. It is about that time for being calm, because the more freaked out you get, the more you can't hear the Spirit of God and to move forward. The more you can't then move into what is that observation? What is God allowing us to hear? And so I want to tell the story, a biblical story. And someone was last week was like, I was kind of surprised you didn't do the prodigal son. And I was like, yeah, that's a lost and found story, but it's a different kind of lost and found story. The story I want to share with you is the book of Job. Now, know that that's a long story, so I'm not going to be reading it to you. I will be telling it from my own voice and with my own words, and definitely a shorter rendition of it. So Job was this man, and it's deemed that he was probably the wealthiest man of his time. The way they measured wealth was by how many sons he had. He had a lot of sons and a couple daughters. He had a lot of livestock. I mean, in the thousands, sheep and female donkeys and just thousands upon thousands upon thousands. He was the wealthiest man around. And he was also a man of God. He loved God. He praised God all the time. And so one day, moving now to God, Yahweh was welcoming his favorite children. Now, at least in the old Bible, in the translations I've read, it says his favorite sons, plural. Now, I go off on that to say that there's references in the Bible that God had several favorite sons, i.e., we are all favorites of God, right? We're all the children of God, and God loves us all equally. And then Satan comes in along with his favorite sons. Now, the translation I read was, God said, what are you doing here, Satan, with my favorite people? And Satan was like, well, you know, I've been traveling back and forth from here to earth, checking everything out, and I've noticed something, God. And Yahweh said, yeah. And Satan said, you know what? These people, these humans who claim to be so righteous and to love you so much, they only love you because you give them stuff. And Yahweh said, no, not all of them. I have an example for you. His name is Job, and he's a great man. And yes, he is probably one of the richest men around, but he isn't like what you said. He has the fear of God. Now remember, the fear of God is the awe of God, just from his own source, from his own being, because he's just got it like that. He's right like that. And the devil said, you know what? I bet you know. I bet you if I got a hold of him, he wouldn't like you anymore. So God said, go ahead. Give it your best shot. The only thing is, do not hurt him. So Satan went down. And all of a sudden, Job was getting his people who had nearly escaped their lives, coming in and telling him things, saying, this livestock was stolen, and your servants are dead. And I just barely got away. And just before that one would stop saying something, another person would run in and say, oh my God, this livestock has been stolen, and all your servants, except for me, who barely escaped from my life. And this happened at least 5 or 6 times as all of his livestock, all of his riches were being taken away from him. And one of the last servants to come to him was a servant of his children. Now it's kind of interesting reading because it says his sons celebrated and allowed their sisters to come in the celebration. They were so good. And while they were all celebrating and partying, because in the Bible it says that the children weren't as righteous as Job, there was some sort of terrible storm, and the house collapsed on them. So not only did Job lose his riches, all of his riches, he lost all of his children. The only thing that survived this was his wife. And his wife, let me tell you, who was heartbroken, I can imagine being heartbroken. I can imagine being devastated by all this. Job was still loving God and appreciating God, and she didn't like this, so she said, you know what, you need to curse God. Curse you. I wish you would die your God too. But no. Job said something famous that I think we've all heard the expression. We come into this life naked and we leave naked. Meaning that we come into this life with nothing. And so when we die, will we leave with nothing? And so Satan went back up to Yahweh. And Satan said, well, you know, it's a little bit more difficult than I thought. And Yahweh said, yeah, I told you. And Satan said, well, you know, I bet you if I did something to him, his tune would change. And Yahweh said, you cannot kill him. But basically, go for it. I mean, it sounds rude, but he was like, no, I have faith. In the faith, I know this man, and I know humanity. And so the devil came back down. And all of a sudden, Job had this devastating ailment. One translation said he had cancer from head to toe. In another translation, it talked about how he had a skin disease such that his skin would like perforate out and he could scrape it off. From head to toe, he was in pain. So follow this. And I think I use the story because I think in some way, shape, or form, we can all identify with the story. Whether it's a loss of job, it's a loss of income, it's a loss of relationships, it's a loss of our children, it's a loss of our loved ones, or all the above, we can identify with Job. I know I've talked about with my own story. I mean, I used to be a vice president in a large advertising agency, and I was reorganized out. And I did everything that they say don't do when you're laid off, which had me in a devastation where I did lose everything. I lost my car. I lost my home. I was almost homeless, and a friend brought me in, and yet that was still a living hell. I understand. Because I was going through these shifts and changes, I became ill. I think all of us can identify when we're having so many problems, when the world seems to be coming down on us, that we feel lost. And so Job still held on. And he didn't blame God at all for what was going on. And as he was going through his devastation, 3 friends from afar came. And these 3 friends sat with him for 3 days. They took off their royal clothes. They put on these sacks and sat in ashes, a part of the symbolism of just sitting in silence with him, accepting him, and loving him up. And even after 3 days of this, at some point in time, his friends started saying and questioning him. They started questioning him. They kept saying, you know what, Job, you must not really be the man that you proclaim you are. You must not be that righteous, because God would only do this to you if you sinned, if you weren't righteous. All of a sudden, good friends, they start blaming him. What did you do to put this upon yourself for God to hate you so? And he would defend himself. No, no. Yes, I'm human. I've made some mistakes. But I do the best that I can. And this went on and on and on. And he would retort. And finally, he kind of sounded good to them, but they still wouldn't give in. And at some point in time, he just said, you know what? I'm tired of this. You know? I rule the day that I was born. Why am I here, God? Why? And God came to Job. It said in a tornado, in a massive wind, came to him and his friends, and in short, basically said, why do you not trust me? Why do you think I'm doing this to you when I have only loved you and given you so much? Why? And from that point on, Job just repented and said, you know what? You're right. Whatever's going on, you're still here. And the next thing he did is really where we begin with the observation and the planning. He forgave his friends. He repented, and the first thing he did was to forgive his friends for the way they were thinking, for the thoughts that he went on his head, the things that they were putting in there. And what he saw was God as this magnificent power. It wasn't a thought. It wasn't a theory. He really became in awe of the massiveness and the beauty and the joy that he saw in this tornado that came to him. That would normally be fearful to all of us, but he saw the beauty in it, and he saw how strong God really was. And once he forgave his friends, all of his riches started coming back to him. He became well from head to toe. He started getting his livestock back. His relatives came and ate with him and would start giving him gold. See, his riches came back. And the glue was, we'll metaphysically interpret this to show what your action plan needs to be. First, it is to observe. Observe your consciousness. Because Job metaphysically means that soul, that part of you, that intellect of you that has gone from a righteous self, a self in this world, in the metaphysical, in the physical, material world, who evolves into a Christ-like self-consciousness, a Christ-like self-reliance in the Christic consciousness. And he did this by observing. Observing himself, observing his thoughts. Now, metaphysically, his friends were all kinds of aspects of his thinking, of his erroneous thinking about himself, about his aspects. And as he kept thinking wrongly and error thinking in a sinning way, that means error thinking, the more he lost. Now, yes, he was praising God, but it was that one slip up when God came to him, when he was ready to give in to what his friend said ever so slightly, that God said, I've got you no matter what is going on, no matter what your thought processes are, no matter whatever has been taken away from you, no matter how sick you are, I have you. This was a turning point not to forget God, because that is so simple for us to do when we're in it. When we feel down and out, and we keep questioning, where is God? Where are you, God? And it isn't about where is God in that moment. It is about where are you in this moment? Because God is there. God is loving you. God is supporting you. But when you're going through your Satan thoughts, your erroneous thinking, God has an assurance, has faith that you will get through it, because God has built us. God has made us. God has made humanity. And the reality is, innately within us, we are made of all of God's stuff. So how would it doubt itself if we are made from that? No matter what we go through. But we have to get to the remembering of that. And that is what Job did. He observed what he was thinking. He saw the magnificence of God, and he changed his mind. And he asked for forgiveness. And once he released and let go of that thinking, he was open up to make the plan. And the plan is to change your mind, to change your thinking. Now, it's interesting. It talked about how he got everything back in double. At the beginning of the book, it talked about how many sons he had and a couple daughters. You know, back then it was livestock and how many sons you had that told you how prosperous you are. I found it interesting that this person who is now shifting over into the Christ, they don't talk about his sons, but they do say that he had three daughters. I think that's relevant because of what and who they represent. And who they represent offers you the plan to move out of the space of being lost and to find that God has everything that you need right here and right now. So the first daughter, the first child that came to him in this abundance. Now remember, the male is the intellect, as we metaphysically interpret the Bible, for Fomorian metaphysics. Women are the emotions, the soul. So his feelings shifted about everything. The first daughter he had was Jemima. Now the first step in the plan from becoming lost is to know that the soul is purified from fear, from contention, and self-justification. Remember, he was battling his friends. He was going back and forth. He was saying, "You're wrong. You're moving past that. You're made gentle, peaceful, loving, fertile for greater acceptance and realization of good. You're releasing and let going all that baggage. You're forgiving and you're implanting within your consciousness, within your soul, the feelings of releasing and letting go so that you can then move to Kezia, which is the purified soul, expressing true perception and discrimination, the siding and the detection of any error thinking that you might have within yourself, any error feelings that you might have in yourself, and releasing and letting it go from your consciousness to open you up to a spiritual perception, to move you so that the spiritual perception is that perception that God is always giving you, that Yahweh is always implanting you, but because we have all this error thinking in the way, we continue to remain lost when if we just stop, remain calm, and open ourselves to observe the mistakes and then move into, no, God's got me, to purify our being, then we will find that we are no longer lost, that there is a way, that there is a new way, a growing way, until finally we have his third daughter, Keren, the elevating power of light and spiritual beauty of truth, a beautiful soul expressed in a beautiful character, beautiful inside and out. So what happens when you get lost? Plain and simply, you just have to stop. Stop the erroneous way that we're going. And it might be a mistake. Usually when we're lost, we're not planning on being lost. But we all have found our way there. Then it's a matter of just releasing and letting go, observing what we're thinking, releasing and letting go, and allow God to move beautifully and easily in us. Spiritually, that's how we're found. Moving back and allowing ourselves to move in. So let us do that right now. Let us pray. Praying in thanksgiving to Yahweh, to that element of God that is moving in and through us in ways to so that we can release and let go of the error thinking of this world, the error thinking of the world that we have created, so that we can now experience heaven here on earth. So we open up our minds knowing that we are worthy and deserving as God's children, God's favorite, each and every one of us, to accept what God wants to give us, the abundance of all good. We say, yes, God. We release and let go of any error of thinking, and we are opening to you. We say, yes, and thank you, God. Amen. And in your bulletins, you also have your affirmation that I invite you to keep. Let us say that affirmation together. God's loving spirit fills my heart and mind. Let's breathe that in for a second. Let's just feel that. Yeah. Let's say it again. God's loving spirit fills my heart and mind. And so it is. Amen.